Good morning, everyone. Nice, brisk morning. Welcome to our service here at the Vines this morning, for those of you who are gathered here, and also to those of you who are watching online or watching a little later. We trust that this service will bring to you a great sense of God's presence in your life, His love, the hope we have, and God's forgiveness also. In Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah writes about God's word. And he says, my thoughts, this is God speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And then a little further down the chapter, it says this, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's a really powerful statement about God being present in the whole of His creation, such that, you know, the creation awakens to God's presence. And we're part of God's creation as well, each one of us. And God is present to each one of us. And so as we worship this morning, I just encourage you, as we move through the service, to let go of the things you don't need to hang on to, whatever they may be, whether it's something you've done wrong, messed up, or just something that's bothering you. Just see if you can let it go and give it over to God for this next hour or so. And just open yourselves up, myself included, to God and God's presence in our lives, not just during this service, but every day, because He is present to us every day. We're going to stand and sing, so please stand. One.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name.
Father, we praise you and thank you that we have the freedom to worship and lift up our voices with the whole of creation and bring praise to you for all that you've done, for the hope we have in our lives, for the love that is ours, the forgiveness that is ours, the peace that is ours. And Lord, though life at times is challenging, may we, as part of your church right around this world, even universally, Lord, may we be people whose eyes are fixed on you, trusting in you whatever the circumstances of our lives. We praise you. We thank you. Abba, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 19, and we're going to read it alternating from side to side, so if those of you who are on this side could follow me, we're going to read the non-bold bits And everyone on the other side, if you could follow Jen, you're going to read the bold bits. Pretty simple. And we come down to the end, there's a little statement of praise to God. We can all read that together. So this side following me. The heavens are telling the glory of God. They are a marvelous display of his craftsmanship. Day and night they keep on telling about God.
Without a sound or word, silent in the skies, their message reaches out to all the world. The sun lives in the heavens where God placed it.
And moves out across the skies as radiant as a bridegroom going to his wedding, or as joyous as an athlete looking forward to a race. The sun crosses the heavens from end to end, and nothing can hide from its heat.
God's laws are perfect. They protect us, make us wise, and give us joy and light.
God's laws are pure, eternal, just. They are more desirable than gold. They are sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb. For they warn us away from harm and give success to those who obey them.
But how can I ever know what sins are lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults and keep me from deliberate wrongs. Help me to stop doing them. Only then can I be free of guilt and innocent of some great crime.
May my spoken words and unspoken thoughts be pleasing even to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
All praise and glory to God, Abba Father, Lord Jesus the Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Some wonderful images in that psalm. Okay. Jesus, when he greeted the disciples after his resurrection, said, "Peace be with you." Thank you, Pam.
Our reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 to 12. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to sing a great old hymn, "Tell Out My Soul," and Ken's bringing the offering down just now so that we can pray over our offering after finishing the song. But I'll get you all to stand during the fourth verse. Thanks, Daphne. It's all right, stay seated until we get to the end.
Tell out my soul the great news of the Lord.
Lord God, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God and have given to us in abundance. You've given to us our very lives. You feed us. You clothe us. You give us a place to rest. And so, Lord, we give back to you as we can, as we are able. And, Lord, we pray your blessing on our offerings, what we have brought to you, and pray that you would help us to use these monies wisely. The foodstuffs that have been given, may they bless those to whom they go. And so we commit all that we do, all that we give, even ourselves, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Please take your seats.
Okay, it's time for the children to come down the front. Aren't you going to do Teresa? No, I think of... Dave's dodgy drawing is not happening today. I actually had a really good idea on the way here, so I'll try and use that maybe in a couple of weeks' time. Okay, today we're talking about lights. When you look around, what do you see? Do you see some lights? Yeah? Is there any light in the sky when it's 10 o'clock at night? No. It's dark, isn't it? It's dark. Well, I guess there's some stars and that sort of stuff. Don't get technical on me, people. All right, so today, now I'm not sure if you were listening to the Bible reading, but the Bible reading was saying that we have this light within us, that we're like jars. Well, how do you have a light that shines? So I thought today what I'd do is some of Dave's dodgy experiments. So, yes. It doesn't involve any petrol, so those at home, relax. The church will be here next week. So I thought I would just show you. Now, I'm going to do a little bit of an experiment, and you can tell me which shines better. Oh, there goes my finger.
Don't do this at home.
Yes, don't try this at home. I was going to get my barbecue lighter, but I would have had to go outside and that would have woken up my son's labradoodle and he would have just jumped all over me. So I had to go matches. All right. Now. Ooh. All right. Now, come over here, children, have a look. Come, come, come. Now. Come a bit closer. Now, what happens... Oh, it's all right. Now, so out of these, which you saw me light the light, didn't you? Now, which one of these can you see the light shining in? This one. Now, all in favour? The one with that one. Yeah, that's obvious. And this one, it's just gone out. So the Bible story was saying that we are like vessels that are like this. Not like this, because you can't. There's no light, exhibit A, no light there. We are like this, not quite cracked, but there are holes within us that are not, we're not perfect. And so the reason the light shines through is because there's holes and spaces. And so it's really trying to say that God's love shines in and through our lives, and it shows through those things that are just us, because we're not perfect. Put your hands up if you're perfect. Are you perfect? No, we make mistakes, don't we? Things go wrong, we don't get it right. And God's love works through that. So that's what we're going to be talking to with the older people today. And I think that's what you're going to be doing in your Sunday school. Doing some thinking about what this means. All right, let me share a prayer for you, prayer with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your love and rain comes down upon us all the time. And we ask that you would continue to light our lives with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I've got some notices, and you guys are going to do some Sunday school activities. All right, maybe just some Sunday school activities. Jaden, go leave him away. So, all right. I might light this one again because it's very nice. Now, we have in the grapevine, there is an advert for... the 8th of July, which is a a children's activity we're going to run at the church. So if you've got grandkids and you're thinking, what am I going to do with these grandkids during the school holidays? Well, there's an answer. 3 hours, 9 till 12 in this church. And it's going to be, so check your grapevines. It's going to be primary-ish aged children. So if you've got a good case to mount why your grandkids should come along, please talk to me or Kristen or Ren Jenny, because we'd love to have you along. And it's just going to be a good celebration of children in the church and those we have friends and connections with. So again, it's just really meant to try and generate a bit of extra activity and a bit of enthusiasm during the school holidays. And anything else I need, Dad? No. So it's all the stuff on in the grapevine, and it's, if you want to check our web page, there's links to that as well. So,
and there'll be some flyers in the foyer after the service.
Okay, flyers in the foyer after the service. All right, I think I'm over to you, David. What am I doing next?
Okay, we've got a song.
Okay, good. Now, the kids, I just sent them out, didn't I?
You did?
It was a kids' song, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, good.
You're safe. We could make it a kids' song if you like.
It's real kids.
You can remain seated.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renew. Power of your love.
Good morning.
Morning.
Lovely wet day. Thank you for the rain. In this time of prayer, we pray for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings we share. We thank you for this rain. Let us pray for those families in the United States, especially Miami, after the crash of the buildings and the mourning and the grieving that will be going on there. Father, at this time, we pray for those who are suffering because of the lockdown, especially in New South Wales. We pray for those who are suffering from illness, unemployment, bereavement. We pray for healing and peace. Father, we pray for the world leaders, especially after their meetings this last week. We pray for the leaders of this country, Australia, and this state, South Australia. We ask that you give them wisdom and understanding. Father, we give you thanks for the doctors, the nurses, the scientists, the frontline workers dealing with COVID-19. Let us pray for this church, the Vines, our own congregation, our leaders, especially David Pryor and his family. Let us think about the chaplains in our schools and the work they do with the children, especially if they don't know Jesus. We pray for the people we know that are travelling. Keep them safe. Can we just pause at this time and pray silently for those who are on our hearts? Holy Spirit, come. Give us guidance, wisdom, understanding, and peace. And in the loving name of Jesus, we ask these things. We all say amen.
Amen. So for the next 5-6 weeks, we're going to be doing a series called Living by Faith. And I think it'll lead us nicely into probably another 6 weeks when we're looking at the vision and value statements of the Vines Uniting Church, as we continue to explore who we are, how we express and understand God's call on our lives. Now, I really did like that reading today. And when I was thinking about it, if I'd thought about it a bit more, I could probably have found a few more cracked pots in my garden, backyard. Or I could have asked Elaine. I'm sure Elaine would have had a few pots. Well, I'm suggesting that... Actually, no, I'm not. But I was going to suggest that maybe if you've ever felt like you're cracking up, maybe you feel like you've dropped or been dropped or toppled over, or maybe there's times in your life you felt that actually the only thing holding you together feels like a bit of gaff tape or a bit of super glue, or I don't know. Whatever the case may be, welcome. Because this is not a church made of perfect people. And if you think you're perfect, I'm sorry, I've just broken your bubble, burst your vase, cracked your pot. Because it's not true. None of us are perfect. And the only person who was got crucified. So it's not really much of an aspirational thing, is it? To be perfect. Have you ever wondered what it's like to sort of be confronted with the reality that yes, we make mistakes, we're confronted with it. Now, the Bible is packed full of metaphors, and the psalm we read, I reckon, had probably 6 or 7 metaphors. Running the race, sun shining in the sky, ways in which trying to use examples of the everyday to try and explain something that is beyond us. And today we've got the similar sort of thing. The reading we had is packed full of metaphors. Now, one of the dilemmas with metaphors sometimes from the Bible is we don't relate to them because we just don't really use those said examples. For example, jars of clay. It's not a term we use very often, is it? Oh, I can't really remember time I've used that phrase in the last couple of years, really. Jars of clay, or although there is a band called Jars of Clay. So today we have three metaphors we're looking at. Jars of clay, treasure, and light. So what does it mean? So the next slide is, what does it mean that we have these treasures in jars of clay? So when we talk about jars of clay, it's not a metaphor we use very often today. But in Jesus' time, it was a metaphor or an understanding they knew very well, because jars were commonplace. They were used for cooking utensils, storing water, even toilets. They were just used for everyday living. And it didn't matter if you were wealthy or poor, everybody used these pots, jars of clay. And jars of clay were also very fragile. So if you're really not sure about, even today, if you went to Bunnings and bought a clay pot, took it outside and dropped it, the result would have been the same 2,000 years ago. Some things don't change. So Paul was saying, hey, look, jars of clay are commonplace. Jars of clay are fragile. And the other thing about jars of clay was that were made by hand. You know, so in Jesus' day and Paul's day, these jars were made by hand. They had a potter in there working out with a lump of clay to make a vase, a jar, or whatever. And the reason Paul is using this as a metaphor is because it's reminding us about what Christians are like. We are commonplace, fragile, made by hand. Interesting dynamics, aren't they? Interesting things for Paul to invite us to think about. So who are we as Christians? And there's, I guess, that Old Testament image, isn't it, of God being the potter. So it's that understanding that, like in Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, go down there and just check out a metaphor for how I relate to my people. And there was a potter in the potter's house making this pot, and it went wrong. So rather than throwing the pot out, he just simply remade it and reshaped it. So when we talk about being made by hand, when I look around, we're all different, aren't we? We all look different. We all think differently. We all behave differently to a degree. We're all different. And so Paul was trying to say something about our uniqueness as individuals. We don't all have to be the same, because God has made us different to be used by God. So we have our own shapes, our own sizes. None of us are cookie cutter Christians. And if each one of you had a chance to jump up the front and talk and share about your faith, we would all discover really quickly that our lives are very different. There's some crossover points where God links in or lights up, but there's nothing cookie cutter about our existence as Christians. God can shape us and remake us. So the next slide is obviously a broken vessel, with all the cracks, and all the water is just leaking out. And one of the comments I'd like to say is, part of the challenge that Paul is inviting us to think about is being cracked vessels. Like, there's no perfect vessel. And every one of us is flawed in some degree. Some of us are a bit more aware of our flaws. Maybe other people are more aware of our flaws than we are. I don't know. Depends how many people you're living with. We all fail. We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have our ways of doing things, thinking, defects, foils. We all fall short, don't we? I like that image of falling short. You know, sometimes we squirm when we talk about sin, but I like the idea of falling short. You know, all of us fall short of the bar, the expectation. And with the Olympics coming, we could say we're like the high jumper who just can't quite make the bar. You know, the sprinter who just can't quite beat the person in front of him. The swimmer who just is a little bit slow. Whatever the case may be. So, again, if we think about our jarness, you know, our potness, our jarness, I'm making words up here, but you get where I'm trying to go with this. If we think about how we are made and our different fragility, again, if we look at metaphors as pots and jars, you know, some of us are a bit thin like china, delicate. Others are sun-dried and easily cracked, maybe. Some are tough and resilient in any condition. Some are large, some are small. Some are ostentatious. Some are nicely flowered. You know, the images go on. I'm not sure if you had to describe yourself as a pot, what sort of pot you would describe. Maybe that would be, bring in next week the pot that most resembles you. That would be interesting. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Actually, Ellie, what she does is tiling with, you know, like they break up tiles and mirrors and then glue them around pots. So you have these beautiful designs, and maybe I should have brought one of those in. But it just sort of, out of broken things, you can make something beautiful. And it's really quite a striking thing. And I guess it's really, we're trying to find metaphors and ways to help us understand how God works in and through us. It's not about being perfect. It's not about having faith this big. You only need faith that big. And so it's the invitation Paul is trying to get us to think about. And yet when we relate to each other, often we look at the external stuff, don't we? We look at the obvious jarness or the pot, the thing we see, but we don't see often inside. And Paul is trying to say something really important about that. It's a bit like, you know, we came from clay and we go back to clay. That our image in the many, you know, beginning of Genesis, where it's that we, you know, God formed us out of the dirt of the earth. So there's a sense of connection we have with clay and dirt. So Paul is saying, well, it's one thing to see the outside, it's another to see the inside about who we are. So what does this mean? What is this treasure in jars of clay? I'll try and say that again. What is this treasure in jars of clay? Treasure in jars of clay. What is the treasure we have within us? So it's a bit counterintuitive, isn't it, that God puts his most precious treasure within the things that are most fragile, us. It's a bit counterintuitive, isn't it? Well, how many of you would put your most precious treasure within something that was most fragile? Not many. So what is this about? Paul talks about the reason he could withstand so much suffering and hardship as a minister of the gospel, as a Christian, and he wasn't alone because all Christians suffered, was because it was the treasure within him that made all the difference. That regardless of how disintegrated or fragile or broken the jars became, that treasure remained. That's a lovely thing to remember, isn't it? Regardless how broken we are, the treasure of God remains vibrant, resilient. That's the word you're really talking about, and it's a trendy word today. You know, the army does resilience training. Secular schools do resilience and well-being. Paul was talking about this stuff 2,000 years ago. What is it that keeps us going? What is it that helps us bounce back? So the next slide, there are some key aspects that Paul would talk about that are treasures. And these are three that Paul talks about: faith, hope, and love. And they're really a significant treasure that as Christians, God has a part of our journey and experience. Although we know faith, hope, and love is not simply limited to Christians, other people have that too. It's not, we don't have a monopoly on faith, hope, and love. And I guess in the end, simply our faith and our hope and our love is not the treasure we're really talking about. Because I don't know about you, but my faith and my hope and my love, it splutters and runs out sometimes. So what am I depending upon? Paul says what we're depending upon is something even more significant. It's God's all-surpassing faith, hope, and love. So it's not about my faith and hope and love. The next slide picks up this whole thing of God's faith in us. Now, I'm not talking about God's faith in us individually to never get things wrong or to be perfect, but it's God's faith in us. So that's the treasure that God puts in us, is God's presence, God within us. It sounds like one of those tangle of words, but I like that idea that in the end, the faith and the hope and the love become significant because they're not our faith, hope, and love, but God's faith, hope, and love in us that is the treasure. That is the thing that never changes. That is the thing that in our journey through life we have to own for ourselves, somehow share with others. But it's a never-ending. It's a bit like that beautiful image of the woman at the well. It's been a really significant image this year for me. The Samaritan woman at the well, you know, where Jesus meets this woman in the middle of the day. She's shunned by her community because she's obviously very attractive and the men just can't resist her. And so they're constantly harassing her and she's isolated. And so in the middle of the day, she has this encounter with Jesus. And Jesus picks up pretty quickly that her life and internal resilience is just about busted, broken, gone. And he offers a living water, something within her that would well up and give her hope, faith, and love. So it's a really powerful image, isn't it? That in the end, as human beings, we all have inner resilience. But what happens when that resilience runs out? What happens when our energy runs out? Jesus says, well, there's another well, this inner well. And that's where we're trying to focus on today. And the hope of God, well, faith and hope are linked together. And it's hope is one of those tricky words, isn't it? I'm trying to think of a metaphor off the top of my head about what hope might look like. I guess it's like if you set out on a trek up a hill and you start getting tired, the hope comes that, man, I hope the end is going to be coming really quickly. That somehow we'll cross the line and we'll be able to stop and rest. Or, I guess there's lots of different images about what hope is. But hope is that future-orientated thing, isn't it? It's we have hope, and hope's the thing that keeps us going when we might be struggling in our now. And one of the quotes I came across which talked about hope, it's a bit like we have our hope because we are people of eternity. You know, we have our passport stamped with eternity. Our visa is already set. So our hope is that what we see and experience in this life is not all there will be. When we die, there is something more. That is our hope. So it's a significant thing that gives us hope. Love of God, which Paul also talked about in Romans, where he spoke about nothing separating us from the love of God, again, is that hope, isn't it? And that part of God's love for us that never runs out. So we might be a bunch of earthen pots, cracked, small, big, whatever. But God's commitment of love to us does not change. You know, I was thinking, when I was talking with the children, we're talking about the sun in the sky. And, you know, sometimes when you don't see the sun when you're a child, you think, well, where's the sun gone? The sun is always there. And it takes a while, doesn't it, when you're a child, to understand that just when it goes black at night, the sun hasn't vanished. You know, the earth is spun around and we're no longer under the radiant glow of the sun. But the sun never vanishes, does it? Like, we don't see it, but it never goes. And it's a bit like our acceptance of God's love for us. That is never going away. But I wonder how many times we really believe that. I mean, if we really believed God's love was as tangible as the floor we stand on, or as powerful as the sun in the sky, and that's just a given, I wonder how that would shape our suffering and hardship. And if you never question that, how would that change your life? Regardless if your faith is this big or this small, you don't need big faith, you just need, you'll probably get down a little millimeter, 0.5. What if that never changed God's love of you? How does it change the way we think? And I think that's part of what Paul is trying to invite the early Christians who are suffering because of their faith, and us 2,000 years later, to try and understand this power. Slide number 6. Christ's love is the treasure that shines through our heart, our fragile jar of clay. God's power through my weakness. I like that quote. I sort of blended it from someone else. Christ's love is the treasure that shines through our heart, our fragile jar of clay. God's power through my weakness. And the impact for Paul and the disciples was that it actually gave them a powerful resilience. The next slide we have is what Paul said was the outcome of having this faith. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. That's a pretty powerful vision statement or mission statement or something, isn't it? You know, imagine being able to say that about yourself. To be able to tattoo that somewhere on your body and know you would never have to remove it because it would never change. That was a truth that had eternal significance. So where does this bounce back come? Well, I've shared with you some metaphors from Paul's reading today. Jar, treasure, and light. And what I thought I'd end with is this little question. What perspective do we operate from? Or what perspective do you operate from? Do you operate from the external clay pot, you know, the visible, or the treasure within? What perspective do you have in your life? Is it the treasure within, that God's love never changes, you're accepted, you're worthy? Or do you get caught up with the external, your cracked pots or the cracked pots of others or the whatever? I'll give you a moment to think about that, and then David will come back and share with us some more music. Lord Jesus, it's so often we just get caught up with the externals. We judge ourselves harshly by what we do, how we look maybe, how others behave and how others look. Lord, help us to focus on the treasure you have put within us, a love that never ends. Let me share with you a prayer that is in the grapevine as well. Dear God, there are many moments when I forget who I am and the treasure you have given me. In my moments of doubt and weakness, would you remind me that you have chosen me? You have placed within me a treasure that will strengthen me in my greatest weakness. Would you help me remember who it is that you have made me to be and who it is that lives within me? Help me to live in the power that has been given to me. In Jesus' name. And the people said,
yeah.
Thanks.
Just a couple of things before we sing our last song. After the benediction, could I just ask you all to stay seated? I've just got something I want to pass on to you. And secondly, today is a special day because young Daphne over here has decided to step away from the roster as one of our musicians and keyboard player. So this is actually Daphne's last Sunday playing in official capacity the keyboard and or the piano. So we thought it would be appropriate, Daphne, just to say how much we've appreciated you. I've only known you for 10 or 11 years, I think, and others have known you a lot longer than that, but I just really affirm your musicianship, the joy you exude when you play, and the way you teach as well, because one of my special moments from you, you'll remember well, I think, that time back one Easter when you taught us a four-part harmony of O Sacred Head, Sore Wounded. And that was a powerful demonstration for me of your capacity both as a musician but as a music teacher. You've blessed us during services, at concerts, and at hymn festivals, and no doubt other times as well, and in other places, because this is not the only place where Daphne has exercised her musical skills. So on behalf of all of us, Daphne, I fully understand that you need to take the journey somewhere else and to step away from music, and we all have to do that at some stage. But simply to say thank you on behalf of the Vines worship team and on behalf of the congregation and those of you who are watching online who know you. So would you thank Daphne, please?
I'm not sure if you want to respond at all, Daphne. A few words? No pressure?
Well, thank you for David's kind words. I suppose music has been a part of my life, both within my church life for all my life and outside of church activities as well. So I'm not sort of, you know, giving it up altogether, but as far as being on a regular basis, I think the time has come that I've had to step back. But thank you.
One of the things I love, and I recognise you've had a lot of duress physically, but I have loved your cheeky laugh. How many people have loved that little cheeky laugh? It's just beautiful. It just shines through. So let me share a prayer with you, and recognising, you know, we're just thanking you for the ministry you have expressed, and a special blessing on that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love that shines through our hearts, even in the midst of weakness. And we thank you for Daphne and her wonderful heartfelt laugh, for her determination amidst great health challenges. We thank you for the gifts she has used and will continue to use in different ways. We just thank you for the time we've had and the many ways she's blessed us. And she'll continue to be a blessing in different ways. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. There's a bit of Vines trivia, but in the same kind of note about music. I was having a conversation with Rob and Daphne a few weeks back after a practice, and we were talking about our musical journeys, and I did a mental calculation, which I think I've probably underestimated, but between the three of us, we've been playing music and involved in music for somewhere in the vicinity of 150 years.
Looking good.
No wonder I'm feeling tired. Okay.
Good.
Let's all stand and sing. You ready, Daphne? Okay. Let's stand and sing. One, two, three, four.
Light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you
as you go from this place, know that the light of Christ goes within you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with each one of us now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Please take your seats.